Thank the Lord this morning for His salvation, for His divine love to you and to me. It is a blessed person who recognizes their needs. And what is even more blessed is that God recognizes our needs. And if we will call on Him in our need, from our heart and by faith, the Lord will come to us and minister to us in our need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Want here means to be emaciated, deprived of life, almost to the point of life. And I shall not want. So it's a blessing to know I need God every hour. And the greater of a blessing, or along with that, is that the Lord understands my need of Him. The psalmist long ago said, as a hart, a deer, as a hart panteth after the water brook. You and me have all been thirsty. We've seen animals that have gone and exerted themselves panting. As a hart, as a deer, would pant after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. This morning, God is alive. And God cannot die. And God is eternal. And God is the living God who gives life. As you know, I enjoy looking at the birds. This morning, sitting there at the table and looked out the window, first one I've seen this year was an indigo blue bunting. If you've never seen one, you miss something. If you've seen it, you understand what I'm talking about. The most brilliant blue of the indigo blue, hence its name. And I looked at that and the thought came to me, only God can do that. He put beauty and then He animated it. I thought, given man enough time and enough equipment, he could build a mountain. He could do that. Give man enough time and enough equipment, he could dig the Grand Canyon. But no man can create an indigo blue bunny and give it life. No man can take something beautiful, 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 and then give it life. Isn't God a wonderful God? And my soul, my heart, thirsteth for the living God. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing to know? Man, in all of our ingenuity, and we're pretty ingenious at times, and we could do a lot of physical things given time and resources, but we can't create life. We can't forgive a sin. And we cannot give the Holy Ghost. Jesus looked on them and talked to His disciples and He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. The critical part of a saved person's life revolves around receiving the Holy Spirit of God. Critical. It's not an optional thing. Now people may consider it. But the Holy Spirit is the power of God. It is the presence of God. It is the earnestness of God's pledge to us while we tread this mortal plane called life. It is an essential, essential ingredient to our eternal security or to our eternal salvation. It's essential to love Him and to know Him in this life. This morning, as we think about the Holy Ghost, another aspect of the Holy Spirit is the fact that you and me, by the Holy Ghost, can know God. God is so great, people, we could never understand God. What is man that you're even mindful of us, you're so great? His thoughts and His ways are so much higher than ours. Who could ever hope to ascend up and knock on His door and say, I'm here to learn? God's ways and His thoughts are so much higher than ours. Yet, He hath revealed Himself to us through His Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost this morning is critical. You don't know what you're missing, and I don't mean that lightly. We don't realize in the natural man the essential part of knowing God through the Holy Ghost. He is a teacher come down from God, sent by Christ, to lead and to guide and empower, to give us the divine nature of God. My thought this morning, Lord help us to get it out a little bit, is having life more abundant through the indwelling or an indwelling knowledge of the divine. A knowledge of God in our hearts. Could say in our minds. Not based on a lot of study, while study is important. It's essential, really. Not based on so much being taught of man, and that's important. But a knowledge of God because He dwells with me. My wife knows me. You know me. But my wife knows me. Why? Because she lives with me. Don't think too bad about her for that. You know? Somebody had to, I guess. We can know each other. Have you ever seen, known of a few cases, where widows or widowers, or maybe siblings after so many years decided to cut expenses and help one another. They would buy a house or rent a house and live together. Sometimes it doesn't work out because they get to know each other. I'm speaking this morning with the help of God. Please help us, Lord. That we can have a knowledge of God because He lives in our heart. Dwells within us. A very present help. It's imperative that we teach the Holy Spirit. Teach of the Holy Spirit. It is imperative that we preach about the Holy Ghost. But the highest priority is that we have the Holy Spirit. And that's the part I want to think about a little bit today in my thinking is having life more abundant through the indwelling presence or the knowledge coming by the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. To know God can be nothing greater. I believe Brother Jim said in the Sunday school class this morning that we don't have to be scientists. I'm putting some words here extra in. We don't have to necessarily have a formal education or be brilliant or learned or scholarly to be saved. We're not talking about a head knowledge. If you read in the Bible, and I was checking on that a little bit, knowledge is warned against more than it's encouraged in the Bible. But there is a knowledge, because it talks about human knowledge, human understanding, human reasoning, human learning, can be a detriment. And I don't mean scholarly, I'm just human knowledge. But there is a knowledge that every one of us should covet. And that is that personal presence of the Holy Ghost in our life. I want to read a scripture at 8 and 11 of Hebrews. Jesus taught them, you go out and preach the gospel. You preach washing, regeneration, and remission of sins. Preach it. Preaching is necessary. But the message is the important thing, that we receive it in our hearts. That we have ears to hear. We can teach of the Holy Ghost, and we ought. But we must receive the presence of God, a knowledge of God through the presence of God in our life. And 8 and 11 of Hebrews. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, saying, every man his, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Now, I know there's a lot of thoughts you could get in this, but here's the part that is such a blessing and such a joy, such a comfort. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. None of us have been singled out to not know God. None of us have been singled out as special that we alone are going to know God. The writer of Hebrews said, referring to the Scriptures, that we all can, may, shall know Him. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. His Son has sent back, well, I'll just say the Holy Spirit. We could put other titles there. That He might teach us and lead us and bring to remembrance everything God has instructed us in. To be our comfort and our guide, our empowerer. And that you and me, through His presence in our life, by His captivating power and the love of God, that you and me might have life, that we might have it abundantly, that through the indwelling presence of God, I am now aware of God. I am now understanding God. I see dimensions of God that I heretofore never saw before because He was in the Bible, or He was in my mom or my dad's teachings, or what the preacher talked about. But now He's become a living presence in my life, vital, animated, dynamic, able to speak, able to hear, able to touch me, able to lead me, able to impress me, able to give me power over myself and over those things that would come in. No longer is He just the Holy Ghost, but He's my abiding, indwelling comforter, the presence of God, the divine nature of God. And the Bible said we all may know Him. Comfort yourselves. Be blessed right here today. God wants us to have the Holy Ghost. You know one reason? Because He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know the power of His resurrection, the power of forgiveness. He wants us to know the power we can have, not through ourselves, but through Him. He wants us to know that we can have power over self. Praise the Lord this morning. That God wants to live in us, and part of the reason is so we can know Him. He doesn't want us to be a casual acquaintance. He wants us to know Him. You know, you live with someone, parents and children know what mom and dad, what child enjoys, likes. If you have children today, you know their strong points, and you know their weak points. Mom and dads are exposed to their children, and they know the expectations of dad. They know that when he says, go cut the yard, how many times he'll say it before I got to do it. Or if I got to say it at all, one time, that's too many. They know that because it's a familiarity, an acquaintance, a dwelling together, a sharing, a sitting down at a table and eating, dining together, etc., working together, vacationing together, on and on, dwelling together. God wants us to know Him in such a wonderful, wonderful way. Over in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, He gives us, to me this may sound like a little departure, but I don't think it is. He speaks about chastening, but I'm thinking today not so much about the chastening, but He reads here about being subject to the Father of spirits and live. Furthermore, we have had, Hebrews 12 and 9, fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence, shall we not much more be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? I think one of the hardest things for a Christian to try to do is to try to live for Christ legalistically. Now, I hope you know by now, I do not object to doctrine in any way. I don't mean that at all. I support doctrine, teachings of the Bible, the Word of God. And a knowledge of that is critical. But also, being subject to the do's, the don'ts, saints do this, saints don't do that, is not the most comfortable experience God has for us. Now, we can be saved with that mindset. If once we have been washed in the blood and have remission of sins and are not sinning, folks, we're saved. But God's got something that wants to make us happy. And that's being in subjection to the Father of spirits, to the Father above, and not from a distance. You know the old saying, out of sight, out of mind? Folks, it can happen spiritually. We don't read, we don't pray, we know what can happen to us. We also know that a living presence of God is strength, power, perseverance, guidance, comfort, love, charity. It's all things of God. I'm thinking today, as we know Him, we have a responsibility to recognize His greatness, of His authority, and that we find ourselves in subjection to the Father of spirits. And the writer said, and we live. But we were alive before that. No, we're talking about living. Enjoying the trip. Happy in the Savior. Happy in the Lord. Able to turn the other cheek. Able to overcome the disruptions of life. We spoke about the problems or the hurts of life last week. Able to overcome that. Live in spite of being hurt. Live in spite of being done wrong. Live in spite of being disappointed. How does that happen? Here He talks about being in subjection to the Holy Ghost, to God Himself through Him. He went on and said some things. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. I want us to think a little here now about the character of the Holy Ghost. The name holy denotes the Spirit. Holy is to be pure, free from sin. It is to be consecrated, devoted, singly focused. And the Lord speaks to us about we being a partaker of that. Again, more than just an acquaintance. More than just, let's look at it this way. Under the law, people were acquainted with God in a way. But yet, every year, the high priest for himself and the sins of the people had to make an atonement. There was no remission, no taking away, no forgiveness of sin in the sense that there was a cleansing. Therefore, men were always at a distance under the law from God. They were, I'll use the word saved, they were accepted under the law. But the Lord withheld them being able to fully partake of Him. You remember the mount they couldn't touch? He said, we haven't come to that mount, but we have come to Mount Zion, something better. Now we have the wonderful joy of being a partaker, sharing in, enjoying the holiness of God through a knowledge living in us. Not through a knowledge of be ye holy for I am holy. That's good to know that. But that knowledge indwells, the motivating factor, the one that urges us on and compels us. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth, compels, draws me. Over in Hebrews 12 and 14, skip down a little bit. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is a doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of God. Holiness is an expectation of God. Jesus said, I didn't know what spirit I'm of. And He could say that about you. We don't understand our spirit. How can we understand the Spirit of God? There has to be a conversion, a washing, a forgiveness, a remission. There has to be a putting off. There has to be a regeneration. Then there has to come a place where the Lord Himself is invited in. By faith, it's always by faith. But it also comes through a direct working of God of giving, placing, putting, bestowing His Holy Spirit into a clean temple. And we become a partaker then of His holiness. And then by that holiness, in this word, no man shall see God. I really have three thoughts on that. And I think a case could be made for every one of them. If I do not demonstrate holiness, I can say what I want, but I will never portray God to a sinner, to the lost world. It will always be a flawed example. Unless you and me demonstrate holiness, no man will see God in us. Another thought I get out of this is, obviously, without holiness, we'll not be able to be innocent before God on the day of judgment. We'll not see Him in an accepted mode. We'll be rejected. And also, without holiness, without being purged and cleansed, I will not be able to receive the Spirit. I'll not be able to understand then the deep things of God that are taught to me and you by the Holy Ghost. So holiness. We don't want to leave out holiness as if it's not important. It's vital to receiving, keeping, having the Holy Spirit. Over in 1 Peter, I want to read something here. A knowledge of God. Because the Holy Ghost dwells in us. 1 Peter 1 and 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Most likely I think he is referring here to the end of the world, maybe end of time. And the wonderful grace that will be bestowed on us in eternal life. Take some liberties with that and say there's a grace that can be bestowed upon us today as Christ is revealed. As we understand Christ and His revelation to us, there's a wonderful grace. I believe the songwriter said amazing grace. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Probably people enter into sin early on, ignorantly. Children. They commit they tell a lie to get out of trouble, I think. They may steal a dime. They sin. But they do it ignorantly because there's no imputed wrong there. Somewhere, some way along the line, they acknowledge that was sin. And it becomes imputed unto them. Men begin in ignorance, but they continue on willfully in that ignorance or in sin. There are things that occur and happen to man because we are ignorant of God. Ignorant of the power of God. Ignorant of the expectations of God. And God does not desire for you and me to remain ignorant. Maybe of itself, well, not maybe. Of itself, it's not a sin. But when we begin to realize the Lord is speaking to me. The Lord wants to speak to me. We need to be very careful that we don't hide behind ignorance. Because out of that ignorance comes sin. Out of that ignorance comes justification for lust and anger and all the things that hurt mankind. That we don't fashion ourselves any longer because now we have a knowledge. But as He which is called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. May the Lord help us to recognize this, to believe it. But as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Lord, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. May the Lord help us this morning to recognize that we need to get past our ignorance and have the presence of God as a living comfort, a living blesser in our hearts and in our minds. A teacher, if you will, an instructor, and an empowerer. People like to hide behind the veil of ignorance. God help us not to do that. Because now salvation's come down, folks. You've heard about the Holy Ghost. You've read about the Holy Spirit. Don't fear Him. Don't dread Him. Welcome Him. Thank God for Him. Because He represents and is God. The one who died for you and me and shed His blood, that's love, folks, sent the Holy Spirit. Well, if He loved me to die for me, forgave me, had compassion on me, then that which He sends me must be of the same making, same mold, the same spirit. Don't fear the Holy Ghost. Welcome Him. Desire Him. Because with Him comes a knowledge of the divine. And folks, that's the only way we're going to get it. Is through the Spirit of God revealing Him to us. I want to read John 16 and 12. Jesus said this, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I have many things to say. Over in Hebrews, the writer in the 5th chapter said, you're dull of hearing. I want to say to us today, the nature that you and me are born with, the carnal nature we call it, the Adamic nature we call it, the fallen nature, we may call it. But the carnal nature of man, mark this, is an obstruction to the instruction of God. Man cannot conceive God other than bits and pieces. Man can feel the wrath of God. Man can sense the anger of God. But the joy of the Lord and the mind of the Lord and the presence of the Lord, acknowledge Him, that I may know Him, comes through the presence of God abiding in us. And when man takes it on himself to try to instruct himself or try to instruct others and leave out the Holy Spirit, that carnal mindset becomes an obstruction, becomes a stumbling block. So then we need, as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. The one that is saved and they that are His, Paul said, have crucified the flesh. We need to recognize that the mindset of human nature is contrary to God. It cannot be really and truly instructed of God. And it cannot of its own self portray God. They're foreign to one another. So Jesus said, I have many things to tell you. But you're not able to bear them right now. You're not able to comprehend them. We know that the comprehension he's speaking about is a product of the Holy Spirit. I want to read over in Hebrews again. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, 10th verse. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, was speaking here. Speaking of Melchizedek, called of God, speaking of Jesus, of course, referring to Melchizedek, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, growth, understanding, able to take that you and me, we have learned and impart that, not only by words and writings, but by the life we live, an example of the believer. There comes a time when God is looking on us that the dullness of our hearing be washed away, purged out. The Lord has promised if we bear fruit, He'll purge us, that we'll bring forth a little bit more or some more or the same amount. No, that we bear much fruit for Him. Human reasoning and understanding and what I think God thinks is not enough. We must have that presence living in us. So the writer was saying, that's so much, there's so much, there's so much. And you can't listen, you can't hear it, because your hearing is dull. It may be an ignorance that is a true ignorance. It could be a willful ignorance. But it always goes back to the flesh as the obstruction. And ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God, oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, having those, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There comes a place in a man's experience, a person's experience, where they need to go on be promoted, if you will, and that's really not a good word. They need to enter into the experience. They need to make their bodies a living sacrifice. Consider their bodies what it was designed to be, the temple of God, the temple of the Spirit of God. That you and me recognize that salvation was the first principle. It is the foundation. It is the underlying cause for more growth. It is that which cleanses us and makes us acceptable in the beloved, that causes you and me to be forgiven of committed transgressions, holy in the sight of the Almighty, where He can visit us, where He can come and dwell with us and live with us and abide in us, that we can find subjection to Him, a joy, a pleasure. It's called a rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. It's not Sunday. It's not Saturday. It is the presence of the Divine One through the Holy Ghost living in us, dwelling in us. Every day is a Sabbath. 24/7, 30 days, 31 days a year, a month. The Sabbath of the Lord is the rest that comes when you and me cease from our laboring, cease from our ignorance, and invite in the Holy One, and He condescends, if you will. He comes to live and dwell in us. Folks, that's not labor. That's not fear. That's not doubts. That's not what ifs. That's rest. And that's what God wants for you and me. Rest through a knowledge of God who indwells in us and lives in us. May we today be challenged. May we be so thankful that God wants to come and live in us. He talks about these folks here and said that you put yourself in a dangerous situation. You put yourself in a place where you need to relearn the first principles. Here's what I got out of that. There's a danger, and we're going to read here in a minute, of not going on. He teaches us another place of the house that's swept and garnished, but it was left. You ladies know, and us men, if we admit it, we know. Dust collects. Just that y'all see it quicker than we do. But it collects. A house needs a cleansing. And if you clean a house, shut all the doors, and leave it alone, I don't know where they come from, but it's called dust mites and dust and spiders. Lord, help us to realize when you and me become saved, that is the launching pad for life, folks. That is the launching pad for all of God right there. We have entered in. We are accepted in the beloved. But there's a danger of staying right there. There's a danger, a great danger, I might add, not to cast any fear on anyone. But these folks lost what they had or were in the process of losing it. Why? Because they didn't receive a knowledge of God on the inside. If Paul wrote this, if Apollos wrote this, whoever wrote this, if they were standing in what Paul taught, Apollos taught, John, Peter, whoever, that's not enough. It's vital, it's important, it's good. We ought to respect it and honor it. But oh, Lord, help us to recognize my power is the power of God in me. And that's how we stay saved. Well, let's go on here a little bit. 6:1 of Hebrews. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, doctrine of Christ. Now, old devil likes to get a hold of things, I guess. He didn't mean just to sign out on salvation and forget about it, because I did it a long time ago. That's not what he meant. That is the fundamental. That is the principle. That is the element. And that's part of the definition of this word, principle. the element, the foundation of it. Let's use that. Because without holiness, we can't go any further. Without holiness, we can't see God. Without holiness, He's not going to live in us. Let us go on to perfection. That's the challenge we have. That's where the flesh, I saw a death, I had to die. A death in which my heart declined. But then he went on, and I can't get all the words, but oh, blessed second grace, or second work. When he finally submitted, rest came. Peace from above. The Prince of Peace became not only my justifier, but my King. Not only the one who forgave me, but the one who brings life eternal and life today into this mortal vessel. Let us go on to perfection. This word perfection, it means maturity. It means completeness. The Lord is able to complete what He began, folks, in us. I believe Paul wrote that. Here's something, though, that is interesting about the Greek definition. Perfection. The state of the more intelligent. I like that. Kind of a challenge. You'll have no need that man shall teach you, but we shall all know the Lord from the least to the greatest. The Lord has a state for those who will be instructed and receive this divine teacher. Those who will desire more than anything else. Paul said, and I hope I'm not totally in context, but I don't think I'm out of it totally either, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He counted everything else but loss, dung, waste, that he may know Him. Striving for that martyrdom, striving for that position where he will have not run his race in vain, that he could say, I fought a good fight, having that in mind that I want to finish my course with victory. Folks, I think we all want that. We all want to go to heaven. We want to be victorious. We've got to have a knowledge of God to do that. We've got to have an understanding of God. We've got to have the leadership of God, the strength of God. We've got to have the joy of the Lord. We've got to have God's rest in us. The journey's too great for us. We've got to have God in us. Leading, directing, us in submission to Him. The state of the more intelligence. Of more intelligence. No, the state of the more intelligent. I don't want to get caught up in that, but think about it. Go on to this state. Go on to it. And you know what? Growth is there. Now we go back to what we read in first in John 16 and 12. I have many things to say, but you're not able to bear them. You cannot bear them now. God has so much. You know, if you could put it on a scale, I don't know how you'd do it. If there's such a thing as the most learned person in God, I qualify that by saying if there's such a thing. If someone could be singled out, they understand more about God than anybody else. And I qualify that. I'm not saying that's possible necessarily. But if that was possible, and here's all they know, and right next to it, you put God and all He is. I don't know how a scale on this earth that would compare the two. There's always places to go in the Lord. There's always new horizons, new understandings, more growth, if you will. You don't grow into sanctification. But you grow in sanctification. You become more intelligent in sanctification. And I don't mean that you decipher better or you can read better. But you know more about God. You understand His ways. You hear His voice, and you follow Him. His sheep hear His voice. And another, they'll not. He is our protection, folks, from following strange voices. Rattling old cymbals, you know, going out here banging tambourines. He is our protection from following sectism and cults. Is the knowledge of the voice of the Lord in me. In me, in you. That's our protection from being deceived, is knowing God. All that we might know Him in all of His glory. And He said there's life in that. Well, may God help us this morning that we grow in grace, that we grow and become more intelligent concerning God. And I don't mean that intellectually. I hope you understand that. Maybe we could come to a stopping place here. I have a lot of thoughts in my mind. First, 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1 and 3. What a wonderful thought this is. It says, according as His divine nature hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay? Then we come behind in nothing. We don't have any lack, no want in us. All things that have to do with living and being godly. And how do we do it? Through a knowledge. Through an understanding. Through an imparting of God on His behalf to us on our behalf. Through a knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. You want happiness, don't you? Certainly you do. I do also. We want to have rest. And we really want to cease from our own labor. Sometimes we don't understand we do, but we do. We get awful tired sometimes trying to do it all ourselves. Worries that have called us to glory and virtue or to strength. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be a partaker of the divine nature. It comes down to that, really. If you're going to run the race, you're going to have to be a partaker of the divine nature. There is a honeymoon, and maybe that's not the best way of saying it. I think we can relate to it. There's a honeymoon at the cross. It's beautiful, holy, probably the most special time. But the rubber begins to meet the road, folks. And the devil's not so happy you got saved. He doesn't declare an armistice. Your enemy out there that's been your distractor, he'll still distract. That temptation that gnawed at you will still be a temptation to you. And after a while, there comes a time that we need to realize that we are more than just saved. And please don't take that lightly. But I have the divine nature. I have been made a partaker of the divine nature. That's where victory is. There's where power comes. There's where strength is given to us, if you will. And we ought to count it a wonderful thing. If I happen to know the president, even if I hadn't have voted for him, I'd have probably told you I knew him. And had a little bit of glory in that thought. I know the president. I was at the White House 2 weeks ago and had dinner with him. You know, I'd probably tell you that. Lord, help us that we can dine every day and be made a partaker of the divine nature of God. going to sustain us, folks. He's going to keep us. He's going to preserve us. He's going to lead us and guide us. He's going to teach us. Then, from the least to the greatest, we can all know the Lord. We can know Him in His beauty, His salvation, His glory. We can know His rest. He said in one place, and His rest is glorious. Glorious! We struggle as humans. This morning, after we got a call about Sister Lita, and we got ready to pray. You may think this is humorous in a way it is, but we got ready to pray. So about the time I got my Dear Lord out, my nose started itching. But folks, I had to sneeze. I couldn't hold it back. So I sneezed, and I wiped my nose, and I said, Dear Lord, all over again. The flesh, and I thought, told Karen, I said, you know the flesh is a powerful influence. When it wants recognition, it's going to get it. And we're not going to subdue it because, well, my heart is set towards praising the Lord and praying for a sick sister. Do you think the flesh cares? My nose itched, folks. And I had to sneeze. I'm using that to say this. Do you think your flesh cares that you're saved? Do you think the devil cares? Not in a positive way, he doesn't. And folks, whether I'm saved or not, when I get hurt, I hurt. And somewhere the hurt, the pain, the temptation is going to be greater, and I'm going to sneeze. If you understand what I'm saying, I'm just going to sneeze. The only protection I have against this thing, it's called crucifixion of it, and being made a partaker of the divine nature. Now, lest anyone misthink this, you're still going to want to sneeze. And I'm using that metaphorically. You're still going to hurt when you get slapped. But instead of obeying the responses of the flesh at that point, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There will be that divine nature that when He was reviled, He reviled not again. But He committed Himself to God. And that can be in us. And I can tell you from first-hand experience, that's peace and that is rest. That's what God has for us. And it comes through a knowledge of Him. It comes through that knowledge based on an acquaintance of, oh, I know Jesus. He lives right here. I talk to Him. I'm subject to Him. I listen to Him. Why, He leads me. And His rest is glorious. So Jesus looked at His disciples and He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Pray for me.